for tuning in and joining us for this podcast. I am T. Hetzel. I work at Sweetland Center for Writing, and today I'm so pleased to be speaking with Christine Tardy. Christine, welcome.
Thank you.
Christine Tardy is an assistant professor of writing, rhetoric, and discourse at DePaul University in Chicago, where she teaches undergraduate and graduate students in writing, writing and language, teacher education, and genre and discourse-related issues. Her research focuses on second language writing, genre and discourse studies, English language policies and politics, particularly related to writing, and disciplinary writing development. Christine, thanks again for speaking with me today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
How did you become interested in working with multilingual students? Did it start back at the American Institute, the Czech Republic, or can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit before that even. So when I was an undergraduate actually here at Michigan, I was a Russian language and literature major, and I did a minor in linguistics. And I kind of fell into some of the classes that were taught by people at the ELI. And so I took a class on, I can't remember the name of it, but TESOL methods that was taught by Carolyn Madden. And that really sparked my interest in the whole field of TESOL. So I took a few more courses over there from...
And TESOL, Teachers of English to Speakers of Other Languages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a world of acronyms, so thank you for explaining that one. So I took a couple classes over there on language testing and a class on genre and discourse. And I thought when I graduated, I was thinking about going straight into graduate school, but actually one of my professors here, John Swales, kind of sat me down and said, you know, this is a good time to go teach overseas. And so I took his advice, and that's how I ended up going to the Czech Republic and teaching English. And I did that for, I guess, about 9 months and decided I really liked it. So I came back to the U.S. to do a master's degree in teaching ESL. And that was kind of the beginning of my, I guess, career path into this world of working with multilingual students.
Yes, yes. And what are some of so now to sort of flash forward, Christine, now in the field and working with multilingual students, what are some of the most important things we should know or consider?
Yeah, well, especially at a university level, I think that's
yes.
The context that most people are working with that might be listening to this. I think there oftentimes people forget that multilingual speakers come with so many resources as multilinguals. They use multiple languages. They are familiar with multiple cultures and multiple countries usually. They've lived in many different worlds. And so they have a lot of skills that a lot of the monolingual native English speakers students don't have. But a lot of the ways that we teach often assume monolingualism and kind of teach to monolingualism instead of giving students who are multilingual the opportunity to really draw on their resources. So that's one thing that I would encourage people to think about is how can we use these students' resources to their advantage and really respect those resources. And there's a lot of talk at universities these days about internationalization and globalization. And sending our students from the U.S. abroad to learn about other parts of the world. But oftentimes we have so many people here at our universities from other parts of the world that we can really learn from and that can really enrich our education. So that's one thing that I would definitely recommend for people. You know, it's easy to focus on language errors or accents and to forget that that's just a feature of using a second language and that it's not indicative of how intelligent somebody is or what they're thinking, how sophisticated their thinking is.
Even the sort of the ESL versus multilingual students having a new way of talking about students seems to imply that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of debate and discussion in the world of second language studies about labels and what we should label these populations, because there really are multiple populations, right? There's international students. There are people who were raised in the U.S. and educated in the U.S. but speak another language at home. There are refugees. There are people who are immigrants that came maybe later in life but have partial education in the U.S. So what kinds of terms can we use to capture all of this diversity of multilingual students? But the term multilingualism or multilingual writers, multilingual students is nice because, as you say, it emphasizes the positives and the resources that the students have. Some people have argued that ESL, English as a second language, tends to focus on the deficit. And, you know, they're also, for many students, it's hard for them to even classify whether English is their second language. Is, you know, if they've spoken it since they were three, is it really their second language? So the terminology can be really confusing and, you know, difficult for students and for teachers and administrators. But multilingual is a nice broad term, I think.
Well, Christine, thanks for mentioning the teachers, because how can teachers do a better job in the classroom when they're with their multilingual students, maybe considering English as a second language classrooms or English as a foreign language classroom, and the composition classroom?
Right. Well, in a composition classroom that's mixed, you know, that has monolingual English speakers as well as multilingual English speakers and writers, a lot of the techniques for just good teaching are also good techniques for working with multilingual students, but considering things like time, having in-class timed writing is a real barrier for a lot of multilingual students because writing in a second language just takes longer. It's a more difficult cognitive process. It takes a long time. So, you know, keeping things like that in mind, when assignments are given out, kind of reading them for clarity and ambiguities that may be more difficult for students who are working in their second language, using visual assignment guidelines as well as delivering something orally. Those are tips that work for all students but are very helpful for the multilingual students in class. Sometimes teachers may be unaware of cultural assumptions that they're making, so they may have assignments, for example, that assume students have an awareness of U.S. cultural knowledge, whereas some multilingual students, particularly international students, may not be familiar with that kind of content. So keeping things like that in mind can be really helpful as well. I think for a lot of instructors, the grading is a big challenge because they don't know how to react to language error that they see in multilingual students' texts. And, you know, that can be difficult. There's a lot of people want to just correct everything that they see in a paper. And that's not usually worth the time that it would take the instructor. It doesn't usually help the student that much. And so what research has shown us is to prioritize maybe one or two language errors, areas that are consistent with the student, that the student is making repeatedly and that impede comprehension for the reader, and to just focus on those and to try to, you know, ignore the little things like a missing article or an incorrect preposition, which are just very long-term language development issues. If they don't impede comprehension, then it's okay for instructors to just ignore those to the extent that the paper and the thought, you know, is still clear and meets the assignment guidelines.
And that connects back to your second point, Christine, when you were saying reading it for clarity.
Right.
That's what you mean, not maybe the smaller.
Right, exactly. You know, most professors, whether it's in a writing class or a disciplinary content class, they're very interested in the ideas that students are offering, and those ideas should still be the most important thing. Of course, language sometimes can get in the way, and when it gets in the way so much that you can't get to the ideas, then you want to offer support and resources for students to help the language improve. But if it's just little, you know, people talk about it as written accent, just like a spoken accent. If it's just little features that just look different, you know, teachers can benefit from just learning how to kind of ignore that and focus again on the ideas and give feedback that way and assess papers that way.
Do you think it's important to talk about the two classrooms separately, that ESL or English as a foreign language classroom experience that students might have versus the composition classroom?
Right. I think there are differences, and part of it is actually the disciplinary cultures of the instructors and the programs. So in an ESL program or an EFL program, most of the instructors are trained in applied linguistics or teaching English to speakers of other languages, which has a very language-oriented perspective, obviously, and often a very kind of scientific, positivist, empirical kind of research orientation, whereas most composition instructors come out of rhetoric and composition, literary studies, maybe
MFA programs.
English education, MFA programs, absolutely, where maybe there's more of a strong humanities base and sometimes postmodern or social constructivist base, not as much empirical research, but a lot of theoretical, very rich theoretical research. So I think those different disciplinary orientations often result in kind of different classroom approaches and pedagogical approaches. There's actually a really interesting article back in the 90s in TESOL Quarterly by Vi Ramanathan and Dwight Atkinson, in which they did an ethnography of an ESL program at a university and then the first-year composition program. And they found, you know, that basically their conclusion was these are two different cultures. And so two different approaches to teaching, different types of assignments. And so I think it can be kind of jarring sometimes for students to go through an ESL program in which they get to focus very specifically on language. They might have assignments that are kind of broken down into, you know, from sentence to paragraph to essay, incorporating research and so on. And then they get to a composition classroom and they have to learn about rhetoric. And they have, you know, very different approach. They learn about ethos and pathos and logos and Aristotle and Plato. And it's very different from maybe what they've been accustomed to in their ESL classrooms. So that's not a bad thing. I think it's in the big picture is probably great for students because they get these different orientations and different ways to think about language and different ways to think about writing. But I think it's not always an easy transition for them.
Is there anything to make it easier?
No, that's a great question. Well, collaboration between the programs, which I think we're seeing increasingly at universities now, this attempt to have the composition programs and the writing centers and the ESL programs communicating and seeing how they can bridge their programs and articulate their goals. I think that's a big help to students because once teachers from different programs kind of know what's happening when the students are in the different settings, I think that benefits the teachers, that benefits the students.
And what can students do in these classrooms?
That's a great question. Well, students, of course, first language students and second language students can, you know, look for the resources that are available on their campuses. They can work with each other, so peers can be very good support for all student writers. I think students can become more familiar with the strategies that help them to learn. So some students have found that keeping like notebooks of useful phrases or, you know, conventions that they see in the text that they read can be very helpful, using text as models, text that they see in their readings in their classrooms, or maybe sometimes their teachers hand out sample texts, looking to those and learning what are some of the common conventions of academic writing, learning how to talk to your professor and ask questions, writing centers, of course, learning centers. Those are all great resources.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sweetland Center for Writing podcast series, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/sweetland.